Using this tape recorder. This is Sarah Lawrence interviewing Mr. James Jordan at his home on October 10th, 2001 in Esmont. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Would you state for the record your full name, please?
My name is James Elliott Jordan.
Okay, is that two L's, two T's?
Exactly.
Okay. And where were you born?
I was born right here in Esmont.
Okay. What were your parents' names and then your grandparents' names, full names?
Okay. My mother's name was Rebecca Dorothy Monroe.
Okay.
Okay. My father's name was General Washington Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
General is his name.
That's
correct?
His name.
And do you know how he got the name?
I don't. But that's his real name.
Uh-huh.
My mother's name was Martha A.G. Monroe.
Okay.
Okay. And her father's name was Bristol Garland Monroe.
Okay.
Now, I think you and, when you and I talked before, I told you mm-hmm. there's some confusion with respect to his name.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it on his tombstone as Brister, like B-R-I-S-T-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother, supposedly, is named after him, one of my brothers who's deceased.
Yeah.
And his name is spelled B-R-I-S-T-O-L.
Yeah.
My grandfather also had a son by that same name,
mm-hmm.
Bristol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding his name is spelled exactly like my brother's.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they supposedly are named after him.
So the engraver goofed.
Well, no, I don't think so.
No?
I think there may... that's been many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, people at that time... African-American people
mm-hmm.
weren't educated
mm-hmm.
and they spelled a lot of things exactly like it sounded.
Uh-huh,
you know
uh-huh,
what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Might have been intended to be Bristol, but
right.
that's how it sounded.
Right.
So that's how
right.
they spelled it.
All right.
But anyway, my father's family is not quite as clear to me as my mother's.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that my father's mother's name was Mary Jordan.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that his mother and father were not married.
Okay.
Okay, so
mm-hmm.
I won't go into the name of his father, but I do know who supposedly is his father.
Okay.
Okay. And he looks a lot like him, so I think he is his father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that was something you didn't talk about.
Well, we did, but sort of like among ourselves.
Yes, okay.
Because this man had another family,
mm-hmm.
and they were kind of, some were real nice to us
mm-hmm.
and claimed us,
mm-hmm.
and others seemed to have thought they were better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so...
So they were local.
They were local,
yeah.
yes. But some of them were very, very, very kind to us. They
mm-hmm.
called us cuz and
mm-hmm.
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I would want you to print this, but I'll just tell you
okay.
that it's my understanding.
Do you want to pause it? So
well, do that. Yeah,
on.
Go ahead
okay.
and pause it for a minute.
Okay. Where were your parents born?
Okay, to the best of my knowledge, my mom was born in what they call the Glendower area.
Okay.
Glendower is kind of like, I guess it's a part of Keene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother and father had, I would say, in the neighborhood of maybe 8 to 10 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure how
okay.
many. And mom was the oldest,
mm-hmm.
at least the oldest who lived.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear at one time that there might have been one before her
okay.
who might have been stillborn or something,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but she was the oldest one who lived.
Okay.
And that was, as I said, in the Glendower area.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was born and reared in an area called Sand Road.
Okay.
And both of those places are within... 5 miles of Esmont.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sand Road.
Mm-hmm.
And your grandparents? Do you know?
Now, where they were born, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The only knowledge I have of my dad's mother and father was that they were in that Sand Road area.
Okay.
And my mother's mother and father were right there in that Glendale area. Okay. And I think I shared with you earlier that my mother's father was, he did quite well.
Mm-hmm.
He really did. He lived quite well. And largely because he owned a lot of land,
mm-hmm.
and he had various farm animals,
mm-hmm.
and of course he farmed the land,
mm-hmm.
and he also worked outside of the home.
Hmm. What did
and
he do?
The only knowledge I have of where he worked was, I believe at one time he worked for the slate quarry.
Mm-hmm.
What he did there, I just don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that may not be true, but I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he had a large, pretty vast place down there, and that was way back in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, I don't know when this happened or why this happened, but he still retained possession of ownership of that land mm-hmm. down in the woods. But at some point, he built the house up on the road, they call
mm-hmm.
it. That house was like more than a mile back in the woods. There were only, to my knowledge, two other families back there.
So did he sell that house that was still back there on the land?
I don't think he did.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he did. I mean, I think he kept all of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether he continued to farm on
mm-hmm.
it or what. But for maybe the sake of convenience, they moved up on the road.
Do you know what address it was?
No.
Or
was no.
it near the central part of Esmont?
Well, I know exactly where mm-hmm. the place is. It's within, I'd say, a mile of where we are now.
Okay.
The house is still standing, the
mm-hmm.
one up on the road
mm-hmm.
is. And he had a store there, just a small store. And I shared with you before that I thought it was interesting that my mother said my dad was a really, really, he was a man who kind of stayed to himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't mingle a lot with
mm-hmm.
the public,
mm-hmm.
but he still had a genuine concern for others, you know. And I heard my mother tell the story that when he would get ready to go to work, he would
mm-hmm.
tell his wife, my mother's mother, my grandmother, he would tell her that if any of the elderly people came by
mm-hmm.
and wanted anything from the store
mm-hmm.
and didn't have the money, to
mm-hmm.
go ahead and let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, on faith that they would pay it at a later
mm-hmm.
date, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was good. And
mm-hmm.
I also told you that my mom said that she thinks I'm a lot like him, and I find that kind of strange because I never knew him, you know.
Uh-huh.
He died before I was born.
Yeah.
And it's interesting also that he owned a store, and at one time, two fellas in the community and I owned a store right down
oh.
the road here.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my mother said that my grandfather was very particular about his place,
uh-huh.
you know, and how he maintained it and so forth, and she always thought that I was the same way. And I guess to some
a
degree.
Neat freak.
That's right, a neat freak. Betty is laughing because she knows that.
That's a good thing for her, though.
But it's crazy how you can be like somebody
yeah.
that you didn't even
yeah.
know, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
And what about, let's see, that was your mother's parents?
That's right.
What did your mom's mom do? Probably took care of the children? Or?
I never heard mm-hmm. any reference to the fact that my grandmother worked outside the home. Now, she might have,
mm-hmm.
but having had a very large family,
mm-hmm.
and then my grandfather was one who I think just... He was the real breadwinner,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and I just, if she ever worked outside the home, I don't
mm-hmm.
know anything
mm-hmm.
about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your father's parents?
Now, I don't know anything about, you know, what their means of income was
mm-hmm.
or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. My grandfather, he was a very impressive man.
Mm-hmm.
He came around. Even a horse, even owning a horse at that time,
mm-hmm.
at the time when my dad was coming up,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was a pretty big thing. It was like owning a car
yeah,
today.
Yeah.
And so my grandfather always, whenever he showed up at our house, he always came on this real nice horse,
uh-huh.
and he would have on like riding boots, and he was really dressed for it. You
uh-huh.
know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
He was just an impressive man,
all
I
right.
thought. And What he did, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, it was kind of hush-hush about,
right,
you know.
Right.
And so we didn't ask a lot of questions about it. But and my dad's mom, I just don't know now. I believe that she might have died at a fairly young age. Mm-hmm. Not young, but maybe, yeah. I'm guessing maybe like in her 30s or something like that. I'm guessing.
So she raised your dad and his siblings.
Well, what really happened was my dad was the oldest, just like my mom. Mm-hmm. He was the oldest in his family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that dad really didn't get farther than a third grade education, mm-hmm, before he had to go to work.
Yeah.
And can you imagine having to go to work at the age of what, less than 10 years old? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? But it's my understanding that he had to go to work in order to help support the family.
Wow.
And like I said, what his mom did, now I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever heard him talk a lot.
So let's move down then to your parents.
Yeah.
And what they did.
Well, I'll start with my dad.
Okay.
My dad was a very, very hardworking man. My dad and mom had 12 children,
mm-hmm,
8 boys and 4 girls. And
where did you come in?
Well, I was actually child number 10.
Okay.
They're two younger than I.
Uh-huh.
And but anyway, my dad, I'm trying to think back when I first remember, the first job I remember my dad having, that he did a lot of, I'm going to tell you a little bit back farther than
okay.
that. I remember just faintly, when I was born, I don't want to really tell you my age, but I was born like during the Depression years, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what those years were,
uh-huh,
but anyhow, it was really, really hard time.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine this. My dad and some other men in this community, jobs were so scarce,
yeah,
in this area for African American,
uh-huh,
men anyway.
Uh-huh.
They work in Arlington, Arlington, Virginia.
How did they get there?
Well, there was one man in the community, to the best of my knowledge now, who did the driving.
Yeah.
Okay, this man owned a store here.
Mm-hmm.
And
which store?
Is it necessary for me to call their names?
It's valuable.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Now, some of this might need to be verified by
okay.
family members.
Okay.
Okay, I'm telling you what I think.
Okay, great.
Okay, I think Mr. Freddie Thomas,
mm-hmm,
Mr. Freddie Thomas was the driver.
Okay.
Okay,
mm-hmm,
he had a car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a car was a great luxury,
yeah,
back in those days. And Dad didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but work, as I said, was obviously so scarce that when word came, and I don't know how they received this word,
yeah,
that hiring, they were hiring in Arlington,
mm-hmm,
they took the job.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to drive there and stay there.
Yeah.
They only came home on weekends, and I'm not sure they came every weekend.
Yeah, right.
I'm not sure they came home every weekend.
They're probably working long hours, too.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, and this was at the, now what kind of military facility is in Arlington? What's there? They worked at Fort Myer. That's what it was.
Okay.
Fort Myer.
Mm-hmm.
That's
supposed to be. Do you know what they did?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably like custodial work and stuff like that.
Do you
maybe
know if that was a WPA project? Did that
it
ring
could
a bell?
Have very, the WPA sounds for me, it could have very well been that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's the first job I think I can remember my
yeah.
dad having.
Mm-hmm.
Where he worked before that, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very heartwarming for me and my kid brother and kid sister. They said there were two under me.
Mm-hmm.
When Daddy would come home, you know, when he would come home. Now, really, I don't remember ever missing him when he wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always great when we saw him.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
I think Mom just took excellent care of us, you know,
yeah.
and we didn't really have time or even, we didn't worry about that
right.
day. You know what I'm saying?
Did he ever send you word of his, how he was doing, when he was coming?
Now, see, not, he wouldn't, probably wouldn't have communicated with us. We were very young kids, you know. But Mom probably always knew when he was going to come. Now, we didn't have a telephone at that time, so he must have written or must have told her. Maybe when he would leave, I think he would leave like on Sunday night, going back, so that they could be there for Monday morning, you know, to go to work. And he probably told her at that time when he would be back. But when he would walk in that door, he would almost always have something in a bag for the kids. Aww. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it might be just a little, almost like I'll say a little Cracker Jack toy. Uh-huh, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Or maybe some candy. Uh-huh. You didn't get candy every day back then, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so when we knew Daddy was coming, my goodness, we were just as happy as we could be. But anyway, he worked there. And the very next job that I knew of that Daddy had was Dad worked for the Slate Quarry, which was located here in Esmond.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I can recall so well that Dad used to leave fairly early in the morning to get there. And maybe I'm thinking more of the winter months, you know, when it was still dark outside.
Yeah.
And he and several other men in the community walked to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now this was like, what would you say it is, about a half a mile or more down that to the bottom, but I guess it was a half a mile. And rain or shine, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They went.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hear, we were just youngsters, we at this time would not have been out of bed, but probably awake.
Mm-hmm.
And we would hear some of the other men coming up the road talking, you know, they'd be talking kind of loud. The road was kind of close to the house.
Yeah.
And they would call for my dad if he wasn't outside, you know, General, whatever they call him, you know. And then by that time, Mom, if he didn't hear, Mom would say, you know, Joe Brown is out there, whoever it was that was coming up the road. Mm-hmm. And so Dad would go out, you know, and we would always, we would be laughing. Look, we were young kids. We were in the bedroom over top of the kitchen, but we could always hear Dad and Mom kiss before he left for he would always kiss her, you know, kind of a loud kiss.
Oh,
you know?
My goodness.
And then she would say, don't forget your lunch bucket and have you got your coat and all of this, you know. And so he would leave the house and go out there and join those men, and then they would walk. This was down on the other end of Esmond, and so they would walk up to the crossroad where they would meet other men coming from up this way, and they would all walk down and work together, you know?
How many do you think?
I'm guessing, let's see, there would be Dad, Mr. Vaughn Ford, Mr. Johnny White, Mr. Joe Brown. I would say that's four there, but I would say between four and seven maybe altogether, you know, because there were other men, and I just can't remember at this time who they were. But they would all walk, you know, down into the quarry, and when they would come back, my goodness, my dad was covered with quarry dust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his hair, his clothes, his face, it was all over him.
Wow.
You know, it's the truth.
Yeah.
And then to think now, Dad would come back home, and before he even had a chance to bathe or to eat his dinner or anything, he would go out and get firewood in if enough wasn't in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had chores. Don't misunderstand me. We had to do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
But he would always, maybe he'd go out and close up the chicken house and just do various things. Dad would busy himself outside doing things until dark again, you know what I'm saying? Especially in the wintertime.
A long day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then he would come in, you know, and wash up and have his dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long at all before Dad would, you know, he'd be in bed. And we used to love when Daddy would go to bed, Daddy would turn the radio on.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple of real favorite stations. Mm-hmm. He listened to WCKY, which was a hillbilly station, country and western station out of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
But he listened to that, WCKY, and WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Played good rock and roll music,
uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh,
and Daddy loved that too, uh-huh, you know. And amazingly, look, Daddy never had, I never ever can remember Daddy having an alarm clock.
Uh-huh.
He would take his watch off, it was a pocket watch with a long chain on it. He would take that out of his pocket and hang it on a nail,
uh-huh,
by the bed.
Uh-huh.
And I never remember him being late.
Internal clock.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
he was
that's
amazing.
So weird.
But anyway, look, Dad worked there and for many, many years. And then the quarry closed down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a big shock to
mm-hmm,
Esma
mm-hmm,
when they announced that the quarry was going to close.
Do you know when that was?
I don't know the year, but he was there a long
mm-hmm,
time before it closed down.
Mm-hmm.
When it closed, they were given the option to go to the quarry in Buckingham.
Hmm.
And Daddy went there for a while. Now, by this time, he might have had his own car. Okay?
Uh-huh.
I believe he did have his own car.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, he drove to Buckingham for
uh-huh,
a while.
Uh-huh.
And that commuting was just too much. I mean, because that thing was in Arvonia, I believe,
hmm,
which is a good ways down in Buckingham County.
Okay.
So, anyway, Dad did that for a while, and then after that, I believe he went to work for the, it was called the Blue Ridge Sanatorium at that
mm-hmm,
time
mm-hmm,
in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have had, between time, a construction job here and there,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but he was never, I never remember him being out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that he retired from there.
Mm-hmm.
But when he retired, he was like 73 years old.
Yeah.
73.
Yeah.
And he had two or three heart attacks. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Did he have any stories about the sanatorium? Or did he share much with you about that?
Not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. Not to my knowledge. I mean, I don't think it was his favorite place to work,
mm-hmm,
you know, because it was kind of like custodial work that
mm-hmm,
he was doing. But Daddy was kind of a hands-on person,
mm-hmm,
you know, for something a little more skillful than that.
Uh-huh.
And but whatever he did it from his heart, you
uh-huh,
know. And he was always a good worker.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he was ever fired from a
uh-huh,
job.
Uh-huh.
My mom was a school teacher before I was, well, maybe not before I was born, but at least I don't ever remember her being in a classroom.
Uh-huh.
But there are a lot of people, there used to be a lot of people in Esmond and the surrounding area who
mm-hmm,
used to say, my mom taught them.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't teach in Esmond. She taught at a school over in, where is that school? In the Mount Alto area. Mount Alto, A-L-T-O.
Howellsville.
Yeah, okay, Howellsville, but it's really called Mount Alto, that area is.
Okay.
And she taught there. Now, don't ask me how she got to the school,
mm-hmm,
what means of transportation. I don't
mm-hmm,
know any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
people in this area remembered having
yeah, that's
a
right,
teacher.
And it was like a one-room school.
Mm-hmm.
But people who, I believe she also taught at a school that's in the area of, what's Frank Bowler's church, honey?
Oak
Ridge Baptist Church in Scala. She taught in that area too, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Skyler's at S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R.
Uh-huh. Yeah, in that area,
mm-hmm,
in the Skyler area.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many years she taught or anything, I just don't
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, I know I've heard reference made to the fact that when Mom finished school, her dad and Mom sent her to school in Manassas.
Mm.
Okay? How she got there, you know,
mm-hmm,
and what kind of school it was, or it could have been like a what did they call them at that time? Like a training school or something
mm-hmm,
like that,
mm-hmm,
where she learned. She wasn't in an actual college, but she was taught the, you know, whatever was necessary in order for her to teach school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she received her certificate mm-hmm. and everything, and she was able to teach,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like I said, how long she taught, I just don't know. After, I'm not even, her teaching might have been before she met Dad,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I think I told you this before, that it's my understanding that Dad, having gone no further than the third grade, mm-hmm. really couldn't read well
mm-hmm.
or write
mm-hmm.
when he and Mom were married.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, Mom taught him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad, I'll tell you what, when I was in the military, I used to write back and forth. I used to write individual letters to my dad and to my mom.
Yeah.
And Dad, it's a wonder that I don't have some of those letters now that he wrote, you know.
Yeah.
And he could, I think Dad could write better than I.
Uh-huh.
It's the truth. I never could write well. But anyway, Mom taught school, and then I think that might have been before she and Daddy married.
Do you know when they married? How old they were?
I don't know how old they were. Look, they were both born in 1901.
Okay.
And they married in 19, I believe, 23 or 24. Okay. I think it might have been 24.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you, you know, they were either 23 or 24 years
mm-hmm.
old.
After she got married.
After she got married. I'm not sure that she taught after she got married.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Dad, like I say, was you know, the main breadwinner in the house. And I'm trying to think, where else did Mom work other than for the Van Cleefs? Can you think of any place else? I really can't.
Who were the Van Cleefs?
The Van Cleef was a very wealthy family, and some of the boys from that family are still living in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But they were a very wealthy family in the area. They employed a lot of people here, you know.
Mm-hmm. were they white or black?
White.
Okay.
Yeah, and the Van Cleefs owned Nidriff Farms up there, or Old Woodville. I don't know if you've seen any of those.
Yeah,
signs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Midriff. Well, what was that called? Mid. The first one you mentioned.
What was it called? Nidri, Nidri.
Oh, okay.
It's spelled N-Y-D-R-I-E. Nidri.
R-I-E. Okay. And how do you spell their name? The Cleef.
It's Van. It's two words. It's
uh-huh.
capital V-A-N.
Uh-huh.
Capital C-L-I-E-F.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Yeah, Van Cleef. And they employed a lot of people
mm-hmm.
from this area. And so my mom went to work for them. And I'm laughing because she was a pretty tough woman. But she didn't like a lot
All
of
right.
foolishness. And so,
why was she tough?
Well, yeah, she was really tough. I laughed. A buddy of mine, I got to tell you this on tape or not. But look, a buddy of mine told me the other day, he said that one payday, they hadn't gotten paid. And he said, Mom went to Mr. Van Cleef and said, Mr. Van Cleef, did the train not come that's bringing the checks? And say Mr. Van Cleef fired her. But he hired her back the next
day.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
She was really tough. The others were probably standing around saying, wonder when they're going to get paid.
Get her
she went to him. Yes,
she got her paid the next day.
But anyway,
good for her.
She was really tough. And mm-hmm. She worked there a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy didn't really like her working there, really. I say that kind of quietly, but mm-hmm. then maybe I wouldn't want you to say that, because they are really nice people. But
mm-hmm.
daddy just wasn't fond of anything that looked like it was kind of a slavery situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He didn't like it. And
what
so,
kind of work did she do for them?
As far as I know, she worked in what they call the laundry room.
Mm-hmm.
That's in their home
mm-hmm.
now. You know, it's a great big house. She mm-hmm. worked in the laundry room. And there were long hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really long hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were times, I don't want this part to be in anything.
after your mother's work day, mm-hmm. she would come back here to your home, and what kinds of things would she have to do in her house?
Well, let me just go back a little bit and say this. It wasn't unusual at all that Mom would go to work as early as 8 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and not return home until 8 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so, now, I'm not saying that was every time, mm-hmm. but it wasn't unusual either. And so, when she would come back home, now, of course, she had, you know, personal things to do for herself, even eating her dinner and so forth, you know. But I can remember when, long after we, the children, and my dad had gone to bed, mm-hmm. my mom would be out on the back porch with she had a wringer washer at that time. And we didn't have running water mm-hmm. in the house, okay? And so Mom would wash the clothes, run them through the wringer on that washing machine. Then they would have to be dropped in another tub to rinse, you know. And then in that tub, you had to wring them up by hand.
Hot water?
I'm not even sure. I guess. But she would wash clothes. She would have to prepare the evening meal for the next day on a wood burning stove, you know, a wood burning cook stove. And you know, that could have even been other things that I don't even know about that she had to do, that whatever the typical things were, you know, she didn't just leave the house in a state of disarray. She'd have to clean up and just dishes, probably all the dishes had been washed and things like that. But if she ate late, she probably had to wash her own dishes. Mm-hmm. And it was just so much. Mm-hmm. It was so much. And like I said, my dad was a very, very hardworking man. He put in very long days on his job. And when he came back home, it was not unusual at all for him to work around the house doing things until way after dark. And when he would come in and finally wash up and eat his dinner, it wasn't long before that he would be in bed, because he knew he had to get up early the next morning to go to work again.
So did you sit at the table as a family, or it sounds like he ate separately from your mother?
Well, the only time I can remember us eating together as a family was on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Okay, that would be the Sunday evening meal. And it didn't have anything to do with the fact that we weren't all there, this type of thing. We were there. It was just that their schedules didn't permit them to really be there, you know, with us. And so, like I said, Dad was an extremely hardworking man, and I don't ever, not in my whole life, do I ever remember him taking a vacation. Not even once. And Dad worked until he was 73 years old. He, even when my mother had advanced in age and was still working, there were times on her job where she had to go with the Van Cleefs to Saratoga. Hmm. You know, they went to Saratoga for, they had a horse farm, and they went up there, I guess, to sell horses and so forth. I didn't understand it a whole lot. But anyway, she would have to go with them and would have to be up there for several weeks, you see?
Wow. And in the summer?
I guess that was in the summer. And on other occasions, they went to Florida. You know, they went to different places. But I don't know enough about mm-hmm. what she did mm-hmm. on the job, but it was a part of her job. She mm-hmm. This was a part of her job. Now, she wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were other families right here in the community. I'll mm-hmm. give you the names of some that you could interview.
Sure.
They can tell you you know, why all of these people had to go, but what they did when the Van Cleefs went to Saratoga for several weeks or even a month or more, then they took many of their staff mm-hmm. persons with them, you know, their help, I mm-hmm. should say, mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. And wherever they went, you know,
what happened when your mom was away and your dad might have been in Arlington.
It was a, well, no, Dad wasn't in Arlington at that time. He was local.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's still, can you imagine the burden it put on him?
Mm-mm.
It was just, believe me, very tough going. And so Dad was always really glad when that period was over, you know, I mean, when they had gone to Saratoga, wherever it was, and it was time for her to come home. Dad, as a matter of fact, he would be so excited about having her come back until many times he wouldn't wait for them to bring her back. Mm-hmm. He would go and she would meet him like in Philadelphia.
Oh,
you know, they would be in New York or wherever. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, he would meet her there because Daddy had a lot of relatives. A lot of his relatives were in Philadelphia.
Ah, okay.
And so this gave him an opportunity to see them,
uh-huh.
and then to his wife to see him too, you know.
And maybe have a little time
together. A little time there, that's right. Maybe a day or so and then come back,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to look forward to that too. Because that was one of the few rare times that we got to go anywhere, you know, on a long. Yeah. Well,
okay.
See, he couldn't leave us. We were,
right.
we were
no,
the three
was,
young
that
ones, you know.
Question.
That's right. He had to take the young kids with him. And Dad, like I said, was really, Dad amazed me in so many ways because not having had a formal education, he was just so smart.
Mm-hmm.
See, I learned to do electrical wiring,
mm-hmm.
Among other
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I remember so vividly that was that when I was quite young, I was experimenting with wires. And on one occasion, I remember we had a lamp or maybe a radio or something that had a broken cord. And I put that cord back together and plugged it into the outlet, and the thing blew the fuse all over the house, you know. And so Dad came down, and he was really, really frustrated because, you know, maybe he didn't even have a spare fuse
mm-hmm.
at the time, you know, had to go to the store and get one.
Mm-hmm.
But he, after finding out what had caused it to blow, you know, he just sat down with me and said, "Now look, I'm going to show you something so that you don't ever do this again."
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me how to separate the wires and insulate them so that they didn't touch each other, you know, and then wrap them
mm-hmm.
back. And
mm-hmm.
I think that really was the beginning for me of, mm-hmm. of my real interest in electrical wiring.
Mm-hmm.
And at, I guess I was a little more than 40 years old when I finally went to school for it
mm-hmm.
and learned how to do it. And I still love it today, really. I don't do it. I never did it for, you know, to try to make a living at
uh-huh.
it. But I've had some wonderful, wonderful experiences in electrical
uh-huh,
wiring.
Uh-huh.
Believe me.
You've done several houses in the community, isn't that correct?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I've upgraded the electrical service in several houses in this community and other communities as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, along with another member of our church, when our church was remodeled,
mm-hmm.
he and I wired it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And we also wired Brown's Mini Market down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
It really has. Like I said, I never did it to try to make a living
mm-hmm.
at it,
mm-hmm.
but it was always a nice supplement, you know, to what I did otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's get back to your childhood, your experiences
okay.
as a child. You had chores along with your brothers and sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe some of those chores?
Well, pretty typical for that time, which meant that we had to make sure that there was enough firewood in
mm-hmm,
the house.
Mm-hmm.
That might have meant going to the wood pile and actually cutting the wood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we didn't have pile saws,
mm-hmm.
you know. There were saws that we called buck saws, you know, which was like a two-hand saw.
Mm-hmm.
And we had buck saws, we had axes. And that was pretty difficult
mm-hmm.
at that time, but you know, you learned how to do it, how to chop wood without cutting your foot off,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
but most of the time, you know, until we were pretty much reasonably advanced in age, you know, the older ones did cutting
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you the younger ones did carrying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to make sure there was firewood in the house. Daddy kept a great big old wood box in the kitchen that had to be filled up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had to to bring water. We didn't have any water in the house. And the nearest spring, that's where we used to get water from, was over at the Yances, the man that the school is named after. But it wasn't, you know, water is always at the bottom of the hill. You know, it's never on top of the hill. So we had to go to their property and go way down to the spring. You go down with the empty buckets, but you come back up with the full buckets, you know. And imagine what that was like when we had to bring wash water, when the barrels hadn't caught enough water, you know. Think of how many times you had to go to the spring to fill up a tub of water. But
the
anyway,
all of you would do this.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not all of us. No. It would be like maybe two guys were supposed to bring the water while somebody else did something else. We had chores like working in the garden. My dad always raised a garden, you know, that kept food in the house, you know, in addition to what they bought from the store. And that meant going out there and chopping corn and tomatoes and whatever else was in that garden, you know. We also had to gather the vegetables from the garden, you know, at times, like gathering beans and then preparing them, you know, so they could be cooked and so forth. And we did a lot. My mother and father taught us to do a lot of things for ourselves, you know. We kept our room straight, you know, we made our own beds, we ironed our clothes, and really, I don't remember having to wash clothes, but we ironed our own.
The boys too.
Oh yeah, boys too. And we knew how to sweep the floors, and we didn't have vacuum cleaners, anything like that, you know, but we knew how to mop floors, how to wash dishes, practically everything around the house that had to be done.
Did she have to lay it out for you what you needed to do? Or
I don't really think so. I mean, I don't ever remember my mother saying, this is how you iron a pair of pants. But we always had older siblings, you know, that we had seen them do it so many times, you know. I mean, as a matter of fact, when you're a young child and somebody's ironing, well, you almost beg them to let you try it, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a new experience, you know?
It's a toy.
And, yeah, that's right. But that's how you learn, you see? And so we had to do all of that. And we also had to do homework, you know what I'm saying? And that wasn't anything that you had a choice in. You had to, you know, you had to do your homework. And so it was a lot to do. It really was. You know, you had to get your clothes out for school the next day, and you know, you had to bathe yourself, you had to do a lot of things.
But you kind of knew what needed to be done around the house.
Oh yeah, definitely so.
The Yancey's spring, could anybody access that, or did you ask permission every time you needed water?
See, I think it was up to the parents to do that. And you know, they had already established. And I'm calling it the Yancey Spring. Honestly, it might not have, let me see, I guess it was really on their property. But, you know, this was, you know how spring is made. This is just a stream of water that somebody at some point digs out a certain portion there. And that becomes a spring,
right.
And so, but I think it was on their property. I know we had to cross their property to get to it, so it probably was their spring. But who got permission and all of that, I just don't know. And over the years, I don't remember there ever being a time that maybe their family and ours fell out and they said, well, okay, you can't use our spring anymore. That was nothing like
right.
that.
Okay.
You know, people were just, everybody was struggling, I guess, to survive, you know. And so. It just wasn't any such thing as that.
Did they seem to be struggling like everybody else?
Not really. The Yances was one of a few families in Esmont that, by our standards anyway, they were very well off. I don't mean they were rich. I don't mean that. But they had one of the nicest homes in Esmont, okay? They were educated people, you know, and they didn't have a lot of children, you know. They didn't have like 10 children or 12 children. They just had a few children. And one of their sons at least went on to become a judge, you know, Judge Roger Yancey. Like I said, money just didn't seem to be a problem with them. Now, I don't know all about what Mr. Yancey did or what Mrs. Yancey did, but, you know, they were a very refined, respectable family in the community. And there were a few others in the community like that, you know. And some, their means of income was clearer than with others. The Yanceys happened to have been one of those families that, as long as I can remember, many of them lived away from here, lived like in Jersey. And I didn't see or hear from them until they came back. You know, you would always know when some of the Yanceys were home because they would come in nice cars and everything, you know. And there were other families in the community like that. Some, it seemed like almost everybody in the community, not everybody now, but the overwhelming majority was really poor, you know. But for those who were not, you know, they really stood out.
Yeah.
They really did.
Did they do anything for the community?
I think they did. I think they did in maybe in areas that I don't even know anything about. Because otherwise, you know, if they had been families who had a lot and was snobbish with it, you would have heard that. But I've never heard any reference, any ugly reference made, you know, against them. It was always... They lived by very nice, high standards, but they had the respect of the community at the same time, you know. And like I said, there were other families that same way, you know.
Do you remember their names and would you care to share?
Some of the others? Well, now this is how I saw these people. You know, others may not have seen
That's
them
all
this
you
way.
Can go by.
That's right. But the Simpsons were also now this family lived right across from the location of the school down there. Now they lived right across the road from there.
Okay.
They too had a very, very nice home in the community and a lot of land, you know. And Mr. Simpson owned one of the biggest stores here in Esmond, you know. He had at least one person from the community. Now, there might have been others who worked for him, you know. And I think now his wife...
At his house?
Yes. I think this guy worked at his house and maybe a little bit in the store, too, but not in the store like as a clerk or anything. Maybe kind of custodial work or something like that, you know. His wife might have been ill now. I'm not sure. I can't remember her very well, but this too was a family that they many of them lived away from here. You know, they seemed like they went away to get the better jobs, you know, but they came back home from time to time and always very well received, and they were just beacons in the community.
I'm just thinking, would they bring back kind of information and stories about the places that they've been lived? Was that part of the excitement to hear about these?
I really don't know. I mean, you know, there are people now who do so much, not probably like the old times, but there are people right now who do things for the church and Let me just say this about the Van Cleefs. Now, this is not, of course, an African-American family. This is a white family. But the Van Cleefs, they have been known not just to employ people in this community, but they have been known to make some contributions and gifts to the church that, I tell you, it's been really, really nice.
Wow.
Now, that's the truth. And even now that the mother and father are both deceased, you know, even the sons still, they didn't have any daughters. They had all sons. And even the sons still do some very, very nice things for the church from time to time. And they still employ people, mm-hmm. you know, from mm-hmm. the area. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, some things that even the African-American families did, you know, I don't necessarily know it all, mm-hmm. but I can tell you they maintain a very high level of respect in the community. Mm-hmm. So there were things that probably I didn't even know about.
Right, that they were doing. That's a good point. Can you tell me a little bit about your schooling, where you went to school?
Right. Well, I went to school, I started school at the old Esmond School.
Right.
Okay. And when I started school there, it was a high school. Now, before my time, the same school, high school didn't go any further than the 11th grade at that time. Mm-hmm. That's when you graduated. And later on, I think it went to the 12th grade. Mm-hmm. But when I went to school there, I can't remember how many years, it was very primitive. You know, there was no cafeteria, there was no gymnasium. Mm-hmm. What sports you had, you know, were outdoor mm-hmm. types of sports. You know, they had a couple of basketball goals there, mm-hmm. you know, but not a real court or anything, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it was all right on the dirt, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying. There was no concrete or anything. Mm-hmm. And he played games like, you know, horseshoes and throwing horseshoes, and you had all kinds of relays, and we played softball, and I don't believe the school had a baseball team, but the community did.
Mm-hmm. And speaking, do you know the name of that? Oh, sorry.
Speaking of that, let me just tell you this real quickly. I'll get back to my school, but let me just tell you this while I'm thinking about it. Esmond has had some really, really, really talented people over the years who, unfortunately, whose talents were not recognized to the extent that they should have been. Mm-hmm. One was a man in the community who, this man had such a reputation as a pitcher, a mm-hmm. baseball pitcher. Mm-hmm. This man had such a reputation that it was known in Buckingham, in Albemarle, in Nelson, in Fluvanna, in all over.
Wow.
Now, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Did you ever clock him?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is, this man, unfortunately, was heavily involved in alcohol. Not so much at the time that he played ball, I don't imagine. But you know, in later years, it was just, and everybody, it, you know, I did door-to-door sales for 15 years. And I can tell you that in the neighboring counties, if I went in almost any direction and told persons there, older people, that I was from Esmond, they would say, "Did you ever know Buster Scott?"
Wow.
It's the truth.
Goodness.
It's the truth. His real name was Albert Scott.
So when he was in high school, he played? Is that when
I don't know.
For the team?
Buster was a lot older than I am, so mm-hmm. I don't know how far he went in school. Mm-hmm. But Buster had a God-given talent to play ball, see? And if it had been developed, I don't know where he would have. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. I'm not, and he was there, we all know. Mm-hmm. And you talk to some of those in the community who are older than I, and they will tell you the same thing. Just say, "What do you know about Buster Scott?" Mm-hmm. And you know, and they might now. I better throw this in. They might remember that he was an alcoholic.
Uh-huh,
you know.
Uh-huh.
But say, "What do you know about Buster Scott as it relates to baseball?"
Yeah.
And they'll tell you. I'm not kidding. He was that good.
Oh, shit.
But anyway, look. When I was in school, it wasn't unusual at all to go to school in the winter months and have to go there and get the fire started, because they had a janitor mm-hmm. who would see the school had maybe seven, 8 rooms, and he would go around to every room and make the fire, you know, before the school day started, mm-hmm. you know. But there were times when, you know, he had made the fire and it hadn't done well, you know.
Uh-huh.
It was practically out by the time the kids got there.
Right.
So the teacher would send some of us boys out to get
some what we call crow nests, you know, that's just...
What's that called?
It's called crow nest or crow's nest, But it's just small branches that are falling from the trees, you know. And so you would break those branches up and put them in the stove, you know, and put some paper in there with them and start that fire again. Then when the fire got going, they had coal that was stored under the school, you know, just like in a crawl space. And you'd take a coal scuttle and a shovel down there and get a bucket of coal and bring that in and throw it in the stove. And that's what kept the fire going all day.
You hope. You
know? Yeah, you hope. That's exactly. So, I can remember, you know, being in coal classrooms for a good portion of the day until the fire got going. You learned everything. You took every subject in that same room. You didn't change classes or anything.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was beautiful because learning was fun. Believe me. I mean, it was just you learned things that you just wouldn't have learned them otherwise, because you know you didn't have a lot of books in your home. You had old textbooks maybe, you know. But not so many, like we've got books going to bed that we've just bought to read, you know what I'm saying?
You mean you might have had textbooks in your home?
Yeah, you might have had textbooks from your older brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They didn't, at that time, when you finished with a book, you didn't necessarily, sometimes these books change before the next grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so that book was obsolete, you know.
Okay.
But parents didn't have a lot of money, you know, for the newspaper and magazines and things like that. So anything, when you finally learned to read, you wanted to read everything you could find, you know. And so, like I said, learning was fun. I was blessed to have been able to do very, very well in school. I really did. Mm-hmm. Even though, to some degree, I didn't know how to handle it I say that because I don't know how it is with girls, but boys want to be popular with the girls in school, you know.
Yeah.
And if you were really, really good in your classes and everything, then a lot of times, you know, some of the kids would just shun you. You know what I'm saying?
My brother had that problem.
It's the truth. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you know what I'm talking about. So then you didn't know. You were kind of, you know, it had mixed emotions about it. You know, do I really want to keep on winning the spelling bees and this, that, and the other? Or do I want to be popular with the girls? You know.
What would they say to you?
Well, I think that you received a lot of teasing. You know, because Now, let me put it to you like this. I think that if you were really smart and some of your peers weren't, then they didn't put it on that. They would find whatever they could to, maybe you got big feet or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They'd find anything they could to tease you about. Maybe your clothes were raggeder than theirs because you came from a family of 12 and they're from a family of 3, you know what I'm saying? And so anything they could find to
pull you down,
you see what I'm saying? And it that was